Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents the Betches Brides Podcast, a show for the wedding obsessed and the brides who are stressed, because after all, it's only one day of your life.
Hello and welcome back to Betches Brides. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Nicole Pellegrino.
And we are back. It is 2021. We're recording this from the past, so it's not quite 2021, but by the time you hear this, it will be. So we hope everyone had a really good new year, and excited for the year to come. We say that every episode these days,
yeah. Right? Really? Honestly, I feel like it's good to be, like you said, we're recording this still in 2020, but, I feel like I'm already in the 2021 mindset, which we talked about in the last episode a little about how, you know, that 2021, everything's looking up. Excited for the year.
Do you feel like there will be as many like holiday season engagements this year? I feel like it's a big time for proposals.
It is a big time. It is a big time. We did a really exciting study about all of that peak engagement season and found that like a lot of people are dropping hints to their significant others to tell them to propose to them. I think there will be a lot of this season because I think people like after 2020, people just need like exciting things to look forward to and to celebrate. And I think a lot of people that probably like, there's probably a lot of men, women out there that were going to propose to their significant others. And then they're probably thinking like, oh, wait, let me wait until the hectic year of 2020 is like at its end and then let me do it. So I can see a lot.
I also think at this point, we've probably been in quarantine for like 9 months. And those relationships that were going to break up, broke up, and those, a lot of relationships got really stronger.
Yes.
So I do think it probably brought some couples even closer together or fast tracked a lot of relationships on You Up, which I also host. We see that all the time. It's like either kind of destroying relationships or making people realize like how important they are to each other. So I wonder if that will make for more engagements or less, or it will all even out because the couples that were going to propose were then like, oh, I actually don't like you. Forget it.
That's such a good point. I feel like a lot of the relationships of friends, I know like a couple of our coworkers, for example, like found boyfriends in quarantine and they're moving fast. Like they're like about to move in together. And I think that's probably why it's like, you've had just each other and maybe a couple of few people. Mike, our podcast producer, just said suckers.
Very optimistic, Mike.
I know. Mike is like the I don't know. He's our relationship anti-guru.
He's our resident pessimist. I love it.
Yes. Yes. Which you need. You need that. But yeah, I mean, it's just funny how fast people are moving and I think
there's nothing else to do. So I get it. Cause there's no like other distress. Like usually if you're dating someone in the regular pre-COVID world, there's like work stuff, there's friend stuff. Like now if you like found someone and you were like exclusively dating, like I feel like you're with that person constantly. So it makes sense to me.
Yeah. And it's 2020 has given everybody this, you only live once, life is short mentality, like even more than ever. I think a lot of people are like, you know, why drag out these things, even with marriages, but that's why people are just eloping, just the two of them. They're like, you know, life is short. Anything could happen. Unfortunately, we're seeing people could get sick, whatever. So I think that's, people are just like, come on, let's snap to it, which I like. I like that mentality.
Me too. And if you are a newly engaged holiday bride and you are joining us for the first time, welcome. We're going to do some emails today. I also thought the study you were talking about that we did with Wedding Wire was really interesting, just about like people dropping hints about engagement. What else did we find from that?
There was a stat that was like I think it was, let me pull it up real quick. It was 15, basically how many people we surveyed over like 500-ish people for this. And we asked how many people are dropping proposal hints on a weekly basis. And the answer for that was 60%. So like people are, I mean, the dropping hints thing, we did get a couple DMs that were like, I don't see why people have to like drop hints during this time. Why can't they just be upfront and talk about it? Which I get, but also I there's both sides. I think
you can have a conversation where you decide like, we're going to do this. And then like, mm-hmm. because you don't know when, I think it's like kind of fun to just be like,
right.
And I would like this ring if you're right, thinking right. about that. Like, I think like, it's kind of like, the whole thing around engagements is like supposed mm-hmm. to be like romantic, which we've always said is like not logical. So I can yeah. see like trying to insert a little like.
Yeah. We found out that one in four people already know what type of ring they want, which
I'm
is interesting.
It's not more. Actually.
I know. Me too.
Right. I thought that was low. I took that study when we posted on the bride's Instagram, which mm-hmm. was now a few weeks ago. And I guess like way higher. I thought I didn't know what ring I wanted until like I was like picking it out. But I feel like most people I know kind of like had that. In
oh, mind. Yeah. Some people know that from day one, from when they're little. They're like, I want this.
They're like 10. I want a radiant yeah,
literally
with, like I'm imagining like a 12-year-old
you'll have that
but I remember but yeah. in college like girls talking about like the four C's and I was like I have no idea what the hell you're talking about but I guess it depends
so much
who you're talking to but these are really interesting studies. They can still find, even though the Instagram stories are gone by now, they can still find the study.
Go to our feed, because by the time this episode comes out, we will be posting a really cool feed post about all the key results and stats. And it'll have our link in bio. So go there.
Yeah, check it out. It's really very interesting. I always love numbers-based insights.
Right.
I sound like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So let's get into the email, shall we?
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button. Uh-oh, I spilled something on it. Or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com. Nuuly with two U's with code BRIDES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I will read the first one. Dear Betches, I need your help. I just got engaged a week ago and my sister is torturing me about it because she didn't know beforehand. She claims it's because she wanted to be there after the engagement to take pictures and celebrate and decorate, etc. However, I don't think it's the real reason. I think the real reason is a control issue. I always told my fiance when we talked about this before that I didn't want my family or friends at my engagement. It's just not my style. I always said I wanted it to be a private thing between us. My fiance and my sister don't really know each other that well and never really built any kind of bond or connection. So I'm just wondering how she could even expect him to contact her about this when they barely know each other. He let my parents know so that he could ask for their blessing, but he waited until the last minute to do so because he was afraid someone would spoil the surprise. I imagine that that is also part of the reason, because he didn't want her to give me any hints. Also, logistically speaking, it would have never worked out that she could have even made it to our engagement anyway. She works a tough schedule and lives a plane ride away, and he proposed to me in his apartment near where we both attend medical school. The engagement was very laid back and private, and that's exactly what I wanted. So I'm not sure why she's so upset that she didn't know before I did. She keeps rubbing in my face that one of her friend's sisters is about to get engaged, and that the sister knows all about it already, and I don't think it's fair that she keeps bringing that up to make me feel bad. The situation is completely different. Maybe she knows because the sister doesn't want a private engagement and wants her family to be there, or maybe they just have a better relationship. It's just not fair to be compared like that. Is my sister justified in being upset about this? How do I handle the situation going forward? Please help. Freshly engaged, Betch. What do you think?
This is a fun one because we were just talking about engagements. So with this, it's funny because like this is something I've thought about. Like I do feel, but it's a lot of pressure having to propose to somebody, and it's a whole, we've talked about this in the past, like it's a whole to do. I know like Mike had my family in on it, making up with the lie and stuff that they were taking me on this winery tour. And here's the thing. I think this freshly engaged betch is totally justified in that she can have a private engagement, that some people want that and more of that and don't want, and you may still love your family so much and want them there to celebrate after or whatever, or do an engagement party later with them. But you might just want it to be a nice special engagement, just the two of you. Sometimes even I look back and I'm like, my engagement was perfect. Don't get me wrong. Like just came into the room for a second.
He's but, like, here are all the things that I wish had been done differently.
Literally, yeah, right as I'm saying that, he comes into the room to grab clothes. But no, so mine was great and perfect, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. But I do think I'm like, you know, a private one could be nice too. That's very like special, intimate, romantic. And I think too, like a lot of, like I know my friends, two of my best friends from college were like, Mike better tell us before, like we better know. And I think he just quickly shot them a text the morning of that he proposed and was like, hey, heads up, don't say a thing, but I'm doing this today. Wanted you guys to know. And they were very grateful that he did that. But I told him after, I was like, you don't have to tell anybody. It's a lot of pressure. They've built up this whole thing. They've gotten this ring. If he doesn't want to tell anybody, that's completely fine that should be completely fine because it is a big moment and he doesn't want the surprise to get ruined. Right. And so I think with her, I think I would just talk to the sister and be like, look, I get, and I'm happy that you are very passionate about wanting to be involved. We'll celebrate later. I just wanted this to be the two of us.
So to me, this isn't really even about the engagement. It seems like her sister is sort of upset that like engagements and weddings are very like symbolic, right? And the people that are involved and the people that are giving speeches and the people that you choose to be your bridesmaids, it's all very symbolic. And so the fact that I think your sister is upset that you guys are not that close, and maybe in her mind, she envisioned a world where, you know, when her sister got engaged, she would be there taking pictures and helping you out and being close to you. And I think it's common for people to have these like ideas about how they thought things would go. It's their expectations. Mm-hmm. And then like when you got engaged and she didn't know about it till after, this was probably her kind of like realization and wake up call, like, oh, we're like not that close. And I think she's probably really hurt by that. I think she's not hurt by I don't think she's so much hurt by the fact that she wasn't there, but she's hurt by like what it means in a larger sense, which is that you're not that close. And I think that's the real issue to get to with her, not really about the engagement. And maybe looking into that and sort of like talking to her about that, talking to her about why you're not closer as sisters, because I think that like, that's really what's going on. If she's like upset, I think it's because she's hurt. So she's, you know, mm-hmm. she imagined that she would have a relationship with her sister where they were close and they would be together for all these big life set, like, milestone moments. And I could see where she's like, this is kind of like the wake up call that's clearly not the case. And instead of like kind of looking inward or talking to you about why that is, I think she's using this as an excuse to kind of like get mad and project like her anger onto you. So I think this is actually a good mm-hmm. opportunity to talk to her and say like, and have a real conversation about like how you guys both feel. I think you can say like, I mean, you can bring up the engagement because it's like sort of like the symbol of what happened, but I would just be like, hey, like, I kind of feel like maybe we've drifted apart over the last few years. Like, you don't like, I love you, but like, I haven't like seen you that much. My fiance is like not particularly close to you. I wish that like things were different. Like, do you wish things were different? Mm-hmm. Do you wish we were more ingrained in each other's lives? Like, and if you don't wish that things were different, you don't have to say that. But like, I think it's more about like having the real conversation instead of like, this is like the symptom of the issue, not like the real issue. The real issue is that you guys feel like a little estranged from each other. And this is how it's like showing itself, you know?
Right. And it's better late than never that she does that for too. Sure. Cause then I think when she has that exact conversation in the future, maybe once the wedding eventually does roll around, this sister can play a bigger role if they become closer, or like, you know, down the road, I'm thinking big picture here. Once she has like a child, if she's going to do that, the sister can help with that and be in the delivery room if she wants, like those big other milestone moments. Like you said, these are a wedding is a huge milestone moment that brings up these, and it's a wake-up call for some people, like, oh my god, I should be playing a bigger part in this role for said family member or friend. So
right,
better late than never.
You know, I should be I thought I would be the first person called, or I thought, you know, I would be your maid of honor, mm-hmm. or I thought any of those things. But I think that like you should use this as an opportunity to sort of like clear the air and have this real conversation, because I think it will if it's done in like a mature way where you both are trying to understand each other and get to why you're not that close anymore, it could bring you a lot closer together and it could actually make you closer. But if you kind of skirt over the issue and just make it about this engagement, then you're not really mm-hmm. going to get to like the crux of what's happening. I don't think it's not going to be based in reality. It's just going to be based around this thing, right, which in itself isn't that important. It's really like the deeper meaning.
Right. Right. And I love that too, because like I have two siblings, well, technically five, the other two half siblings, very close to all of them. Like, siblings truly just make things like this more fun and big moments more fun when you are close to them and you do want them to be involved. So I think do that now, because if you do address it, like if I were her and I were in this situation too, like you said, instead of sweeping things under the rug and like playing with the elephant in the room, I would address the elephant in the room and talk it out. And
yeah. And some people don't have close relationships with their siblings. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you guys are just kind of very different people, mm-hmm. which is also fine. You can still like respect and love each other and just not be people who are like naturally that close. I think that's okay too. I just think it's important to like for everyone. That's okay too, as long as both people have like the same expectations or are in the same place. The tension comes when one person kind of like thought you were closer than you actually are. Yes. That's when people get upset, because they're hurt, and your sister is clearly just like hurt, and she's just like showing it this way. Instead of showing it through like sadness, she's showing it through anger.
Right, right. I like that she said he asked the parents for a blessing. I like that. Mike had to ask my dad. And I know that's a very traditional thing, but I don't know. I just like that.
Yeah. Mike asked my dad too. I thought it was kind of unnecessary.
Really?
Because I'm like, I feel like, I mean, like, you're kind of also like younger. I feel like when you got engaged, I'm like, I was like 30. I'm kind of like, I don't really need you to like, it's like, it's nice. He's like kind of more traditional than me. Like, I thought it was like a sweet thing, but I'm kind of like, I'm a 30-year-old woman. Like, I have a business. I don't like need my dad's permission to get married. But I thought like, I didn't mind, you know what I mean? I didn't feel so strongly about it that I was like, don't ask him. But I just kind of thought like,
yeah,
this like so many wedding traditions just seem like, it seems like, I don't understand why this is still a thing in 2020.
Yeah.
It seems like absurd to me.
Could you imagine if like one of our dads was like, no. Which I'm sure people
sometimes
do.
Happens where people, yeah. you know, like they have an issue with the relationship. And I mean, like, my thought is like, if you actually really need the permission from your parents, you really shouldn't be getting married, because you're like,
yeah,
really old enough.
Yeah.
But it's as a symbolic thing, I think it's like kind of nice. It's cute. But like, right. I also think it's cute, but ridiculous. Like most wedding traditions.
Yeah, exactly. And we do them anyways. I can go ahead and do our next question. I really loved this one, obviously, because I can personally relate to it, which you guys will hear. But also, I have a weird bubble in my throat. Also, I think a lot of people will be able to relate to this just because of the circumstances. Hi, Nicole and Jordana. Like everyone else, I love the pod and listen all the time. My boyfriend and I have recently been talking about engagements, weddings, and moving our lives forward. We are trying to decide what the best fit for us is. I like the idea of eloping or doing something very small. My boyfriend would like to have a big party. I'm very hesitant to have a big wedding because I lost my mom 3 years ago to cancer, which, side note, that's unfortunately very ironic because same exact situation with me. Going on. And I can't imagine my wedding without her there. I find monumental days like the day we got the keys to our house extra hard because I am so happy, but always end up wishing she was there to share the joy and have a knot in my stomach the whole time. If you know, you know. Her absence at my future wedding is the one part of losing her that I still find difficult to accept. Nicole, I know your mom also passed away. I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm curious to know if there is any way that you are planning to honor your mom at your wedding. I've seen other brides have done special little dedications at points throughout their special day for those they have lost. Does any of that resonate with you at all? Do you have any advice for going through the wedding planning process without one of the most important people by your side? Wishing you both the best on your big days, a hesitant, maybe soon to be bride. So yeah, I mean, thank you so much for being vulnerable and honest, first of all. This is something like I had my best friend and I, who also lost her mom literally a year before mine, which is crazy and very unfortunately ironic. We've talked about this because she's not engaged yet either, but when I got engaged, like, we're very open and honest with each other. We were like, she was like, how are you going to do this without your mom? Like, this is such a moment. Wedding dress shopping, there's the bridal shower, there's everything. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, this is for people that are close to their mother, or in cases father, you know, grandparents, whatever it may be, sister, brother. During big moments, you're like, holy shit, I don't know how I'm going to do this without them. That being said, you do it. And you, I think, like her first question, like tips for kind of just dealing with that, you really just got to lean on friends, siblings, if you're close to them. My sister's like kind of stepped up and she's older than me. So like in a way, kind of like, I think unspokenly taking on this like maternal role. And then my mom, I was very fortunate that like my mom had best friends since we were born. So they're like my second mothers, and they came wedding dress shopping with us. Like, that was amazing to have, because having them there is like having her presence there. And just, yeah. So I think that's one thing. And then I guess just for like honoring, I do have a lot of, I wrote down a lot of tips for like what you can do throughout the day. And I think a lot of people will be able to use these because, you know, you might have a grandparent or whoever. A lot of us have lost loved ones, whether it be a parent or whoever. Mm. So yeah, I can go in. Do you have anything to add before I go
I think you're doing such a good job. I'm so sorry for both of your losses. And I think that these are really, there's a lot of people, I've heard about this a lot. I know people a lot who kind of also find this, they have this question and they want to, you know, they want to, because it's, mm-hmm. the wedding is such a happy occasion, but they want to make sure that they're taking a minute, or, you know, making,
right.
honoring the people who are the most important in their lives. So I think this is a really important email, and a really, you're doing a very great job, mm-hmm. answering it. So let's hear
Thank
the tips.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the tips, well, number one tip for me, I'm like a spiritual person. And I have like my faith's gotten me through my healing and all of that stuff. I won't go into it because we all believe different things, whatever. But my thing is like, I know she's with me all the time, and I know she'll especially be there on my big day. That's helped like a mindset thing going into it. But I have literal tangible ideas and tips that everybody can use to kind of make that, make sure they're there with you. So, okay. So a fun one is like a recipe or a cocktail recipe. So if they had a special recipe that they loved, you can have that as a menu item. My mom, for example, loved dirty martinis. So we were thinking maybe making one of the signature drinks, like a Diane's dirty martini. Her name was Diane.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's like little, it's like an upbeat, like positive way.
Exactly.
Also like include, yeah, you know, remember, I also love dirty martinis. Your mom and I probably would have gotten along.
Oh yeah. Sipped dirty martinis. We would have invited her to the Betches get togethers. No, but that's the thing. And I think that's an important thing to do too, is like make these moments, because a lot of our memorial moments can make us sad, but like make them personalized to the person and kind of upbeat and fun. If that's how the person was, you know, make it unique to their personality. One I really like is save a seat at the reception for them. So you have an empty seat and you can put like nice framed photos of them on it or like flowers on it, kind of decorate it so nobody sits there, God forbid. I would like freak the fuck out if somebody sat there. But yeah, so do that. That's a nice little thing. And you can write a little like, this seat is saved in loving memory for so-and-so on it. Things that I've seen brides do on their bouquet is like you pin these little photos on the bouquet. You can do, and if a groom's lost somebody, you can pin it to a boutonniere, which I've seen. And that's just nice because that's a very symbolic thing, because it's like they walk you down the aisle kind
they're
of in a way.
You.
I think they're called, yeah, walk down the aisle charms or whatever. Let me see. Something I love, which I've seen at a wedding I went to, is like a photo table of all of the lost loved ones. So you just put out a nice table and put these nicely framed photos of all of them, and people can go over and look at it and remember. And it's nice if you have a lot of family there too, because then they can kind of go over and, you know, look at the photos and stuff. Yeah. And then like, just give a toast. That's always a good one. Yeah. Wear something special of theirs, especially for those who have lost like brides with a mom or grandma. I think that's always something I wear, like my mom's jewelry literally every day. I'm like, it makes me feel happier, more confident. And then, the last one. I really liked this. I hadn't seen this one before. You could ask for, like, as a registry item, you could ask for like a charity donation to one that they supported.
Oh, that's nice.
So for example, like my mom worked in the, as a registered nurse in the NICU. So like loved newborn babies and stuff. So I might actually do that and like have a donation to a charity that supports newborn babies or something, that are like sick.
Oh, that's
or whatever.
Great.
I don't know. I'll have to
look. I think these are all great. I also have seen, like at the top of the ceremony, people talking about like their parents, and then they, I'm pretty sure they released like a white balloon or something. It was an outdoor ceremony. And it was just like a small little thing at the top before they got in, which was also really nice and sentimental and sort of like was honoring them, like almost like, cause that's like the first thing you're doing.
Yeah.
So it is really nice.
I love that. And I think like too, like I just know myself, my whole life, like literally right next to me right now is like a framed like windowsill of my mom, like a bunch of photos. I know my wedding's going to be like a shrine of my mom, basically. Like I'm going to have like photos on my bouquet, like the save seat thing I'll do, probably the cocktail thing. And that's
You're
fine.
Gonna do
like,
all
I
of
think
it.
I'm literally going to do all of it. You're not going to be able to get away. She's going to be there. Literally. Like,
oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
Sorry,
I think you're
Mike.
Like making your, no, that's really, I think that's really nice.
Yeah.
I think these are amazing tips. I hadn't heard most of them before. So I think these will be really helpful for this bride and anyone else, who's wondering, you know, how to do this. Cause I do think it's again, like a huge question people have. And I think you did a great job answering it.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I'm excited to see how, you know, it all pans like out.
It all
like
unfolds.
How
the shrine.
It all unfolds.
The
yeah. Exactly. Here we go. This one is from a bridesmaid. Interesting. Hey ladies. While my fiance are totally, my fiance and I are totally slum planning our own wedding after a COVID engagement, your podcast has kept me entertained, grounded, and jotting down notes as I listen. Today I'm actually emailing not as a bride, but as a bridesmaid. Maybe other brides have written in about this from the other side, which would be helpful to understand. Summary, as a bridesmaid who is more concerned about COVID protocol / safety than the bride, what is okay for me to skip on the wedding weekend? How should I best communicate this to the bride? Backstory, my cousin is getting married in a few weeks, no date in case she listens, in Pennsylvania, which is a pretty hard hit COVID area right now. And it's all indoor wedding. While she has cut the guest list down from the original, it's about an 80 person invite list, feels too big to me. Her attitude is to let people decide what they are comfortable with and decide to come or not. The problem is that I'm a bridesmaid who is not comfortable, but don't really feel like I have an option. And I know some other bridesmaids feel the same. Like other guests. I understand that she is going through a lot right now. We've tried to be sensitive and reach out through the maid of honor to express some concerns or ask about safety protocols, which include all masks except when at the table, drink maximum. I don't really understand what that means, but my plan has been to obviously be there for the ceremony and pictures and leave the reception when I no longer feel comfortable, depending on how many people show up and how mask wearing is going. This could be before dinner, or it could be a few hours. Full disclosure that I've eaten indoors since March. So I already don't love the thought of eating there at all. However, we also just found out that she's planning to have an indoor rehearsal dinner, which I'm not comfortable with, and an indoor after party at a hotel suite for the wedding, which I'm obviously not comfortable with. I'm basically at a loss right now because it feels like she's planning a super spreader event and not really caring. I want to be there for her, but I'm not willing to put my family at risk who aren't coming after the fact. And if I'm being honest, I also don't want to put myself at risk. What's your advice? How should I tell her my plan? How do I tell her I'm not comfortable going to the rehearsal dinner? What are your thoughts on leaving before dinner as a bridesmaid, or am I being selfish and need to just suck it up because I've agreed to be part of the wedding and figure out a way to quarantine after the wedding to avoid exposing anyone else? Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of objective and sympathetic outsiders to her cause that I can ask, so I'd value some insight or reactions from you both. Thanks for this and all of the Betches content. That's the email.
Yes.
What do you think?
Lots to unpack here. It's funny because this reminded me, one of our coworkers, I won't name his name just for sake of his own privacy for this issue, because I don't know if, you know, his friends listen, whatever. But I remember he was a bride's man to one of his best friends that was a girl. And this was like a couple months ago or whatever, in the peak of COVID. And she was having a smaller kind of wedding like this. And he was like, I don't know what to do. I don't feel comfortable being there. And I think he ended up doing what she's saying she might do, which is go to the ceremony, kind of sit far away, wear a mask, all that stuff. And then just kind of left and didn't stay for the whole reception. And I think that's a common thing. Like when people feel like they want to be there for people who have been having these weddings, I think a lot of people are doing that kind of maneuver because the reception obviously is more close and sometimes dancing and all that kind of stuff, and especially indoors. I think, and who knows, by the time this episode comes out, things might be looking more up. Hopefully they will be. And something like this won't sound as crazy, but I think
it'll still be an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. I think she totally is justified in not wanting to go. I think she can. I mean, if I were her, I would just really talk to her and like tell her like the reasons why, like maybe, and to, like when Mike and I had to say no to a wedding, they ended up, the couple that we said no to ended up postponing anyways at the last second, but they were going to have one in December and we were like, we just can't go. Like we're gonna, you know, if we do see our family around the holidays, we can't go to a wedding right before. We can't. And just like, especially as things have gotten way worse in the state that we are in now, like we just said no. And they did completely understand. I think it's tough for her because it's adding this extra layer of her being a bridesmaid, but I think she just needs to be honest.
Yeah. I think like, at the I think the answer is in the email. She said at the top, like, the bride's strategy is that, like, she's just continuing to do it, and that anyone who doesn't feel comfortable, she's letting people decide what they're comfortable with and decide to come or not. So she said that that's the bride's stance. If that's truly the bride's stance and you're uncomfortable, then to me, it should be like an easy conversation to have. I would, especially if you're a bridesmaid, I would FaceTime her. I would not text her about it, because I feel like that's like would be like annoying for me if I were the bride. I would FaceTime her and I'd be like, listen, I love you. I really want to celebrate with you. I would love to like take you out, take you and your then husband out, like when things get better in the spring, and celebrate with you like in any way I can. Like, I really want to be there. I'm going to come to the ceremony, but I just do not. I'm just too worried about like potentially, you know, my parents' safety or my family's safety and like, even my own safety, to be totally honest. Like, I would not go into it with any judgment about what she's doing. I would just say like, I love you. I want to celebrate with you. I'll be at the ceremony taking whatever necessary precautions. And then I just don't feel comfortable staying any longer, but like, I cannot wait to celebrate with you again when this is over.
Yeah. And that's even good of her to offer the ceremony. 80 people is technically, if we want to get technical with the definition of a micro wedding, it's around like 40 or 50 or less. 80 is like a decent amount of people again for a time like this.
Yeah. I mean, even if it was like 400 people, I wouldn't make it about her choices and her decision and how many people she tried to invite, because like, people don't really need that. If she's deciding to do it and she's saying people who are uncomfortable don't have to come, then I think that's your answer right there. I wouldn't be like, and you know, you have a lot of people and it's indoors.
Just
make
no,
it about
no.
you. Don't make it about the wedding. Cause when you're making it about the wedding, it comes off judgmental and it comes off like you're like, don't make her feel like you're like either judging her or like mad at her for doing it. Just make it about yourself, your own comfort levels, and how much you love and want to celebrate with her at a different place and time, and send her a nice gift.
Right. When we said no, I said to them, because the people that were having the wedding in December were like putting all the precautions in place to like truly, and you could see they had the info on their website. They would like listed out ways they were gonna make it as COVID safe as possible. And I was like, you know, we could totally appreciate you. It's going to be a lovely event. You guys are going to have a great time. We just are not going to be there. But,
I'm sure she will understand. Like,
yeah.
And if she doesn't, that's like kind of weird. Cause you said that she was her, that her policy is to just let everyone else decide. So I would do what's best for you. And, I think it'll be fine.
And I think like, even though she feels like extra obligated because she is a bridesmaid, I think for a situation like this, that title doesn't like differentiate you from being a normal person that wants to be safe and look out for your own health. Like, you, just because you're a bridesmaid doesn't mean you have to feel any extra obligated in this situation to do this. So.
Agreed.
Yeah. This episode of Betches Brides is brought to you by Generation Tux. Generation Tux understands that planning the perfect look for your fiancé and groomsmen can be overwhelming and for some, totally foreign. That's why Generation Tux makes it simple and painless, and you can do everything online from the comfort of your own home. Generation Tux specializes in online suit and tuxedo rentals delivered to you, high-quality men's formal wear at a reasonable price, with rentals starting at $139. And award-winning customer service. Generation Tux provides free at-home try-ons, free swatches of the materials, free suit or tux for the groom with five or more paid rentals in your party, and gets delivered 14 days before your event. Generation Tux has a selection of suits, tuxedos, and accessories, with over 20 styles of suits and tuxedos available in a variety of colors and hues, and hundreds of accessory colors. And best of all, you get free shipping, virtual consultations with customer experience, and stylists and online tools to help you plan the perfect wedding. It uses an easy online fitting with their patented e-tailer algorithm. It also uses a groomsman management system to make sure they're fitted and order in their garments. You guys, I am so excited to use Generation Tux, and I'll tell you why. Mike and I have been kind of facing this like Tux groomsman look debacle for the past, I don't know, year and a half now since we've gotten engaged. You know, we've tried other companies and tried trying things on, and we just can't get the right service and can't settle on something. So we're still in the market, and we're so excited because Generation Tux is going to be so easy to use. I love that it's all from home. We don't have to go into any crazy stores. You have the free swatches. I'm so excited. The try-ons, we'll be showing it all off on the Instagram. So definitely tune into that. And Mike really loves that you get the free tuxedo or suit for the groom with 5 or more paid rentals in your party. And we have, I believe it's 9 groomsmen. So we'll definitely be using that. I'm just so excited. You can try Generation Tux for yourself by visiting generationtux.com. and visit to build your look and get started today. That's GENERATIONTUX.com.
Well, those are our emails. Thank you guys for writing in. Happy New Year. Please email brides@betches.com. If you have any other questions for us, we love doing these. They're really fun. And then, you know, because it's January 4th, Nicole, why don't you tell me about your bridal related or wedding related New Year's resolutions. We can share those as a nice
yes. way
to close the opening and guys, of the year.
Yes. And if you're feeling, you know, giving around the holidays, give us a review, leave us 5 stars. We truly love hearing them. Honestly, we need it around this time. Don't we all need a little extra nice little oomph of a good review? So drop it in on Apple Podcasts, but listen to this, you know, on Spotify. We love when you share the Spotify episodes to your Instagram story, that kind of stuff. So spread the love. But going off of that, bridal wedding New Year's resolutions. You know, my wedding New Year's resolution, overall, like, I think I'm going to set a schedule for us planning. That doesn't sound fun at all when I say that, but
no, I think resolutions are not about having
my
fun,
resolution
right?
is true. I think I'm going to say like dedicate X amount of time each week. Maybe it's like a fun, maybe we make it like a fun little Sunday thing where I pull Mike into it for planning, because we really need to like kickstart. I'm planning on next week, like we talked about in the last episode, really kickstarting my planning. So I think just like maintaining a consistent, like being very on top of my planning, not procrastinating anything. Also, I don't know. What are That's some of yours? One.
Mine is to practice gratitude rather than irritation around my wedding stuff. Because like sometimes, you know what I mean? Like there's so much that comes up when you're planning that you're like, that wasn't exactly how I wanted it. And you get really irritated, and I'm definitely guilty of being like, but I wanted it to be like exactly how I wanted it to be. And I get annoyed. But I think if you take a step back in that moment and you're like, I'm going to be able to have a wedding, it's going to be beautiful. Like my friends and family will be there. And I'm so grateful to be able to do this thing. Like if you take a second to just remember that, it makes you less like hyper focused on the details, which don't really matter to anyone but you.
Right.
So I think that's, I've been trying to do that. I'm going to try to do that more this year because, you know, things come up. You get annoyed, right?
It's easy to get so irritable about wedding stuff because people's opinion, and I know we make jokes about this all the time. We're probably like helping fuel that irritability in people because we make jokes on the Instagram all the time about like people's unsolicited opinions. And it's a very weddings are a thing where people love to throw their opinions at you. We all know that. And it's easy to be irritable, but instead I like that. Practice gratitude and like, you know, just be thankful that you get to have a wedding. You have a roof over your head, you have clothes on your body, all that kind of stuff. And you get to have this wedding, whether it be big, small, short or tall.
Yeah. And pat yourselves on the back because you had a hard year and, you know, grateful that last year is over and we're moving up, we're moving on. Things are good. But,
oh, wait, I have one more resolution too, which is just make more time for each other. I told Mike, I was like, because I've talked about this before in quarantine, we'll go days where we're not speaking to each other because we're just like working on our computers. We're like, you know, throughout the day, there's just a couple words being exchanged. I'm like, we need to really make that effort to like be with each other and connect with each other. I'm a big person when it comes to like connection. If I feel like our connection is slipping at all, I freak out. So I think just that going into our wedding, making sure that we're really making that extra time for date night, making that extra time to just like have fun together. I don't know. I want us to like do things like take a dance class. That's going to be one of my resolutions. Mike and I are going to take a dance class.
Like you'll kill it. I can see you being a really good dancer.
I will, but I like am. I just have that natural rhythm. Thank you. But Mike,
you're like, I will. I can't speak for Mike. We'll see if he comes down the whole, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest dancer.
There was a song I put on like last night that I found recently, and it just has a dance vibe. And I was just like being weird in the living room and dancing to it. And I like grabbed Mike and tried to make him dance with me, and he was going along with it. But he's so stiff. I'm like, you need to loosen up and like get loose with this. And he's like so self-conscious about his dancing. So we're going to work on that together.
Well, I think you're going to be a great like tutor for him. I see that you're a good dancer without even having ever seen you dance. So I'm excited Thank for you. That one for you guys. Anyway, guys, happy new year. We will see you next week. Don't forget to email us brides@betches.com. And like Nicole said, 5-star review. We would definitely appreciate that. Anyway, till death do us part. Bye.
Betches.